Well, here's a good question from the text line, 800-465-8770. So what is the viscosity of Seattle Spirit? Is it a gelatinous goo or a super slippery slime with a slight stench of liberalism, the weed, dirty, nasty bong water? It varies. It varies from time to time. Seattle Spirit can be a lot of things, but sometimes it is. It does have a viscosity. Let's get to this. Okay, so in this seat to my right, Roger Millar. So he's the executive director of the Washington State Department of Transportation. Now, what you have to do is imagine someone with the testicular fortitude necessary to come in and answer questions like this. Roger Millar doesn't have any testicular fortitude at all. At all. I wish I could tell you how I know. I wish I could. But I'm sworn to secrecy. On the left, Pete Rogoff. Imagine him in here with his goatee. And he likes to say that he's abrasive because he's from the East Coast. So when an internal report revealed that Rogoff gave a speech to people and said during that speech, remember, black people, they need more help at work. So, you know, when you see a black person at work, you know, if you're white, you'll lend an extra hand. I mean, that's a fairly close paraphrasing to what he was reported to have said from this investigation of Sound Transit. He says that's because he's from the East Coast. Right? So that'll be the approximation of the Pete Rogoff voice. Millar, we're just going to go with the classic bureaucrat.
I'm Roger Millar. I'm the executive director of the Washington State Department of Transportation. I work with Mr. Rogoff on the rail lines in the DuPont area.
We just own the rail. And provide security, so don't try to put this on me, you fat punk.
I object to the personal nature of the comment. I'm from the East Coast.
So that's the interchange you'll hear if I can pull this off. This is drawn from a story in the Seattle Times. Starts here. Everybody was worried about the curve. The engineer who was forced to learn to drive a locomotive he had never, ever engineered. He had about 6 minutes to learn it. Who looked in vain for the speed limit sign. A small amber diagonal sign. Small. 2 miles before the curve, which is nothing for a locomotive loaded. He said everybody hated that curve. He said he got warnings from senior people. He told investigators about this last-minute change in the locomotive. He was concerned that he or another road foreman, his foreman called him and said, hey, he's concerned that he wasn't going to be with him on the train. And he coached him again on some of the physical characteristics, including, again, this curve. So, here begins my hearing with Millar on my right, Rogoff on my left. Gentlemen, thanks for coming to the hearing. Mr. Millar, did your agency write in a report that this rail line would be ready for trains at this speed limit, 79 miles per hour, once a positive train control system had been installed?
Well, I thank the gentleman for his question. The report in question, to say it was written is deceptive. It was typed.
Sir, I'm not going to play games with you. Did the report contain a statement that these tracks would...
Well, I was going to finish me.
You listen to me! Sir, I'll ask the questions. Did the Washington State Department of Transportation publish a report, written or typed, that said these rails would not be ready for these speeds until such time as there was something like the positive train control system, yes or no?
On advice of counsel, I declined this isn't
a congressional hearing. It's not a courtroom. This is National Transportation Safety Bureau. You don't get to plead the fifth.
I have a rock in my shoe.
Where'd he go? He left. Let the record show that the Washington State Department of Transportation did issue such a report. Mr. Rogoff, your agency owned these tracks. You were responsible for safety on these tracks. Did you review the Washington State Department of Transportation document in question, the one that said these rails would not be ready for speeds at this level until the infrastructure had been improved? Did you read that, sir? Look, you know, I don't like your attitude. Don't make me come over there. Sir! I will not have it. Did you choose to ignore the report? You know, I didn't see the report. You know, we were responsible for safety, but I put this on this engineer. I put it on him. It's his fault. Further in the Times report, the gentleman who was responsible for the training with Amtrak admitted that as many as seven people rode in the front of the cab during night practice trips, which exceeded standards. Secondly, in this report, the National Transportation Safety Bureau mentioned that Brown, the engineer, was trying to look for the white sign. He was trying to do that, but they speculate that this was impacted. His peripheral vision was hindered because he was not used to the unfamiliar locomotive. So again, my question then to Rogoff and to Millar. You decided to move forward with this prior to positive train control being on these rails. Questions for you, gentlemen, is this. Was the 6 minutes people would save between here and Portland worth 2 minutes per life lost? All of you were warned by Don Anderson, by community groups, by engineers, not just railroad engineers, but by people who built these rails. You were warned. In my judgment, you caused this with your greed. All right, we'll come back on the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH. Now you can see why I can never be in politics, right? Nah, I'm not politique. More on Strzok. Did you think we'd do otherwise? Man, no time to waste. Coming right up, Brandon Strzok started the walkaway movement. He's a good guy from New York City, gay guy. Just figured out that the left is no longer liberal. They're aggressive. They're hate-filled. He's going to join us about 4:30. And he's grown into a phenomenon. Now he's being accused of being a Russian troll. We'll get a lot more sound from the Strzok interview. This was just on Fox News. Listen to this arrogant curse.
There is an expectation that those texts are private. The Bureau allows me or any FBI employee to text my priest, to text my doctor.
You weren't texting your priest or your doctor, you smirking, lying. You were texting a woman you were having sex with on the side of your marriage, Pete. I said we were going to have a lot more sound, but you know what? John on Twitter has just won the day. Justice for All 50 at Twitter, on Twitter. At Justice for All, is that 50? Yeah, Justice for All 50. Got it. Yeah. I know what it means, John. Justice for All 50. Listen to this. This is brilliant. Amazing how the left shifts the goalpost as needed. They said Darren Wilson was the officer in the Michael Brown incident. The cop Michael Brown tried to kill by grabbing his gun and firing it in the deputy's patrol car. That was Darren Wilson. Amazing how the left shifts the goalposts as needed. They said Darren Wilson was biased without any proof, yet Strzok is not with plenty of proof. Further evidence that anyone who's left has leftist leanings is inherently intellectually dishonest. What they said about Darren Wilson was that he was a racist who wanted to kill black people, despite the fact that, in I think it was earlier that day, or if not just a day earlier, he had saved some black kids. He was actually pretty well thought of in the community. He was pretty well liked. He wasn't a guy with discipline reports, nothing like that. And they claimed it was his bias, his fear against Michael Brown that caused him to take Brown's life. And here we have Strzok, whose bias is clear, and it's not about texting your priest, Peter Strzok, or your doctor. It's that you texted about having an insurance policy in case Trump somehow made it into the White House. It's that you were excited to impeach him 5 days after the investigation was announced and you learned you could jump off of something that you said didn't matter, the Hillary Clinton investigation, into something that could lead to an impeachment. So now what we're being told is, oh yeah, he's biased. He hates Trump. But that didn't contribute in any way to his decision making. Well, we don't need to know that because we know what his actions were. He tried to illegally set up a meeting with a judge to influence the judge. We know that. We know his actions. He lied about the dossier. We know his actions. He changed the words gross negligence to extreme carelessness in Robert Mueller's speech about Hillary, where he described national security felonies and then said, but no reasonable prosecutor would prosecute. Yeah, because they'd be afraid of Hillary and be afraid that she's going to end up being president of the United States. So John's absolutely right that the goalposts shift. When we come back on the Todd Herman Show, he will join us. Unsilent Minority, the walkaway movement, the founder of it. And I think it's fair to say we helped them start it on this show. Man, this is so cool for me. Talking to the guy who started the walkaway movement and it has taken off. And my wife gets the credit for coming to me and saying, Todd, you got to watch this video. There's this gay guy in New York, and he's killing it. He's walked away from the Democrat Party. Oh, and he's so good on camera. And my wife has a little bit of kind of a crush on you, and I know you're gay and all that, Brandon. But she just intellectually everything else. And I think we were the first media entity to jump onto this and have you on the show. So welcome back to the Todd Herman Show, Brandon.
Thank you, Todd. And you're right, you were. That's why I was so excited to come back and talk to you again. It's sort of like bittersweet talking to you again.
Bittersweet? Why bitter?
Yeah, you're right. It's just sweet.
Yeah. So let's get right off on the big news, man. I learned from the Daily Dot and the Huffington Post that maybe you didn't know this, but it seems you work for Putin, they're saying.
I am very well aware. Yes, I have heard the whole campaign is Russian bots, which is just, it's so amazing. And it's like, I'm not even upset about it because it's disappointing. It's so lazy. I mean, the funny thing is that the whole reason why I designed the campaign the way that I did is that it's testimonials. And, you know, so many of them are video testimonials. It's like, how many ways can the people on the left find to slap the people in middle America across the face? I mean, these people are literally sitting there in front of their video cameras, telling their story, telling their truth. And the people on the left are saying, nope, Russian bots. It's like, how many ways can they find to disregard these people?
Yeah, and these are folks who are walking away from the Democrat Party. So if you haven't met Brandon before, we'll talk a little bit about his story and this red pill moment that he had and the fact that he walked away from the Democratic Party. But I wanted to get your comment on one thing before we just kind of remind people of your personal story. I don't know if you saw what happened in London. Have you heard of the Get the L Out movement, Brandon?
No.
Okay, this is lesbian women who are noticing that that transsexual men are demanding to have sex with lesbian women. And these...
Okay,
so you and I were talking about intersectionality and the use of victim groups. And I've been talking to a lesbian woman here who is now, she's walking away, Brandon. You know why? Because she's had liberals tell her, she's a lesbian, Brandon. She's had liberals tell her that for the good of the movement, you need to be able to have sex with a transgender woman who would be a man who has, you know, I view it as gender dysphoria, that they have this condition and they believe they're women. So you need to be able to date and have sex with a man. And now
it's very confusing. That's hard to follow.
Yeah.
I think she's leaving just because it's so confusing.
Well, but then she also she started to notice some of the things that you did. And let's talk about your story is you began, I think, noticing that the Democratic Party isn't liberal anymore.
Well, I mean, they're insane. I think at this point they've at this point they've definitely they've embraced, I think, this extremist leftist ideology, and I think that they feel like it's really going to work for them.
Yeah.
But, you know, what's come along with that are these kind of, you know, this what started, I think, is kind of juvenile behavior and, you know, pouting and tantrums over how the election turned out.
Mm-hmm.
But we've seen that increase into, you know, hostility, name calling, and intimidation, threats. And now we're at the point where it's perfectly acceptable to commit an act of violence. Not only acceptable, but actually encouraged by certain people, like, say, Maxine Waters.
Right, right. And that's beginning to manifest in other ways, such as people being accosted in theaters, people being spat upon. I don't know if you've seen this, Brandon, out here. Rose City Antifa put up, that's out in near Portland, Oregon. They put a photo online of them with their semi-automatic rifles saying, just to let you you conservatards know, we take this very seriously. How many people on the left, in your experience, really understand how militant a portion of the left is in America?
Well, I don't think they understand it at all because... Yeah. You know, the majority of people who I think are on the left but aren't a part of the extremist left feel that the extremist left is somehow justified. This is what I keep hearing over and over again. When I talk to people who are not necessarily extremists, but they're on the left, when I talk to them about Antifa, say,
yeah,
their response is generally, well, but Antifa pushes back against fascists. They're actually against fascism. How can you argue with somebody who's against fascism?
Yeah.
And I say, but don't you see that you're becoming everything that you claim to protest against?
Yeah.
And Todd, I don't know if you know, Todd, I was actually denied service in a store recently because they recognized me from television for being with the Walkaway campaign.
Yeah, it was a camera store. Look, man, I have not stopped tracking you. I'm so proud of you. And you are a gifted on camera, dude. Let me tell you something. You have a real gift and you have a gift of touching people. People like you, your intelligence just comes through. So let's hear this story. Were you in New York City when this happened? The camera store?
The camera store, yes. Yeah. I was in New York, yes.
So tell my audience about this. People need to hear this.
Well, I mean, part of, you know, the Walkaway campaign is that we want to grow this movement. We want to continue to put out content that, you know, touches people and you know, possibly educates people, hopefully. And so I decided to go and get some really, you know, top-notch camera equipment. And so I went into the store, and it was a lot of stuff. It was a big purchase. I was getting a camera, a tripod, microphone, lighting, whole works.
Mm-hmm.
And I was basically done. I'd been in there for a while, and I approached one of the salespeople, and it was a gay guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was gay, too. And I went to him, and I said, you know, hey, this is what I need. And he said to me, are you planning to use this equipment for alt-right purposes? And
yeah, that's you. You're so alt-right, Brandon. Okay.
No, and that should have been my reaction.
Yeah.
I think that next time it will be. But,
yeah.
You know, this was the first time, and I'm sure not the last time, that something like this had happened, and it was shocking. I mean, it stunned me.
Yeah.
And I kind of took a beat, and I said, alt-right? And he said, well, aren't you with the Walkaway campaign? And I said, yeah, I am. And he was like, yeah. He was like, I don't support that. And he was like, I can't sell to you.
Wow.
I actually took a moment, Todd, and I said, because he's a gay man, and I mean, I would have probably done it anyway, but I think because he was a gay man, I had this understanding that he was probably feeling afraid of me or what he perceived my intentions to be. Mm-hmm. And so I said to him, look, if you can't sell to me, that's fine. Like, I get it. I understand. Mm-hmm. Fine. Whatever. But I was like, person to person, I would like the opportunity to talk to you because I don't think you understand what the Walkaway campaign is.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just kind of closed down and he said, well, that may be, but I'm not going to sell to you. You're welcome to talk to somebody else, but it's not going to be me. And that was the end of it.
Wow. I admire you for being willing to say, hey, look, I mean, clearly you're rejecting me. You don't know me. You don't know a thing about me, but let me talk to you. And you yeah. do have that way of drawing people in. Can we talk about some of the stories you've seen? Because I've lost track of how many videos have been put up and your social media, Brandon. I mean, you tweeted you were coming on the show, and thank you for that. I'm looking at, you know, yeah. I mean, a couple hundred retweets in a couple of minutes. People love what you're doing. So tell me about some of the stories you've heard of people who've walked away from the Democratic Party.
Well, I mean, it's all over the spectrum, which is incredible. I mean, we literally have, you know, every race of person, every type of person, every age of person. And there's stories, anybody who's listening should go on the hashtag walkaway campaign group page on Facebook and take a look for themselves, because they will touch your heart. Some of these people, it's heartbreaking. You know, I mean, some of them are stories of people who, you know, were best friends with their sister for 40, 50 years. And the election happened in 2016, and now their sister won't speak to them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, it's, you know, they were shunned and ostracized by friends. Some people were, these are the people, sorry, I guess I should have been clear. These are some of the people who are on the right, because mm-hmm. there's also people on the right who are doing their stories and their mm-hmm. testimonials. For the people on the left, it's a lot of people like myself who have a variety of stories about how, you know, liberalism and identity politics and political correct culture became too over the top for them. And you know, and to me, it was like liberalism became all the things that I am against. I don't like racism. I don't like sexism. I don't like, you know, ostracizing people based off their sexual orientation. And it's like, it just seems like liberalism has overcorrected all of those things to the point where we're way past equality now. Now it's like, you know, straight white men are really going to get what's coming to them. And I'm not going to stick around for that. I'm not about that. And it looks like a lot of other people aren't going to stick around for that either. Like,
yeah.
Yep. This is stupid. You know, yep. This isn't helping. This is not making the world a better place.
Yep. Brandon Straka is the founder of the Walkaway Movement. And man, it's good to talk to you again. Yeah. You know, that was my point kind of with the Get the L Out movement. I didn't mean to put you on the spot on that. It's not a very well-known movement. It's beginning to grow. That's the feeling that a lot of these women have is, wait a minute. I'm liberal because I wanted to be part of the LGBTQ. I think that the Democrat Party's done a good job on this. And now you're telling me that I don't get to choose who I have sex with. My God. They're stepping back and saying, what yeah. has happened to my party? You're telling me as a lesbian woman, I have to have sex with someone I consider a man. You may decide he's a woman, but I don't feel that way. I don't think that's the case. It's mind-blowing. And Brandon, that experience you've had of not being served by another gay man, that is so right. indicative to me of the people who preach tolerance. But they've been taught selective tolerance, or it's also specifically academically taught as repressive tolerance. As you've gone around the world, what's been the reaction now from Democrats and leftists to you? What's the common theme that they say to you when they figure out who you are?
Well, you know, I think the majority, I'm sorry to say, the majority of them are stuck in this delusional state of mind, and they are very comfortable to believe that this is a Russian hacking campaign.
Yeah.
I wish I had a better answer for you, but that's really the truth. I mean, no one's really, you know, on a personal level, you know, they'll say to me, you know, what's wrong with you? You know, what happened? What are you, stupid? Don't you understand these people are bigots? Don't you understand that they hate you? Yeah, they'll come after me like that. But if we're talking about the campaign, they don't believe the campaign is real. They don't believe the campaign actually exists.
Mm.
And Todd, I want to maintain our relationship for a long, long time, because I'm telling you, I have something really big cooked up to show them just how real this campaign is. And I'm going to be letting people know about it in the next few weeks. And you're definitely somebody I want to be talking to first.
Oh, man, I'll hold you to that, Brandon. I'd love it. The other thing I'd like to do sometime is figure out how we can get you out to Seattle. And do something out here where you get a chance to meet. We have got a group here, Brandon, called the Pink Pistols. They are consistently excluded from the Pride Parade, although they're gay people. And they're consistently right. excluded because they're pro-Second Amendment. And they agree with the LGBT community on everything else, literally everything else. They're liberal except for the Second Amendment because, funny thing, as gay people, they've been attacked. And they're not right. going to be victims. So maybe we could work out a way to get you out here sometime and meet people. I'd love to meet you in person. It was a brave thing you've done. The walkaway movement's taken off, and I know you're very busy. I just thank you for taking the time, Brandon. It's very kind of you.
For you, anytime, and we'll be talking a lot more in the future.
All right. Godspeed. Be well. Stay safe. And thanks for being so brave, Brandon.
Thank you, Todd. Good talking with you again.
We have arrived at my favorite part of the show, your letters and emails, social media posts. We do the text messages. We run those throughout the show at 800-465-8770. And we do that with tweets as well, at Todd E. Herman. So you can use that anytime during the show. And don't wait to be asked. By the way, the tweets, they're more fun because there's a community of people who chat during the show. I watch that. We read some of those on the air, and it leads to inspiration. But you can always email me if you've got something longer to say, therman@ktth.com, or use a private Facebook note. Quick one here from John. We'll get off to. It includes a photo. I'll put this up on the Facebook page. Todd, I had to go into Seattle where James goes under I-5 near Harborview and saw this on the corner. A recycle bin, I presume, put out by the very helpful Mike O'Brien, and all around a mound of garbage. Yeah, this is what people are seeing as they come into our city these days. This is what's in a city that's so concerned about the environment that they wanted to spy on your garbage. Right? Always keep that in mind. They wanted to spy on your garbage to make sure that you weren't throwing away banana rinds, but they allow addicts to drop needles and human feces and urine and God knows what else all over the street. In fact, it's encouraged. It is. It's encouraged. The behavior is encouraged and coached. How do I know that? Because they put out a welcome sign to the world. And what is really, really sad about this is it does paint other homeless people, people who've encountered homelessness, people who missed a mortgage payment or two, families have done that. It happens. Folks end up that way. They get colored by the street people who choose that lifestyle. And please don't tell me there aren't people who choose that lifestyle. I used to hang out with them. Okay. I used to work with them. I used to take them around and give them day labor. They're the ones who taught me that. I grew up believing no one wants to be homeless. I don't know that anybody wants to be homeless, but I know because I have eaten lunch with them and, in fact, played guitar with them in the park, that there are folks who want to live that way. From Donald in Kirkland. Herman, it's always a good sign. Someone starts that way. I've been called that since high school. Herman, I listen to your program because I agree with you on the madness of Seattle. But I have to turn off the radio station anytime you defend your president. I seriously have to ask you, how is it that you justify to your family, who you say are liberals, your support for Donald John Trump? I'll listen to this. I'd like to hear the response because I'm genuinely curious, because in every other way, you seem to be a compassionate guy with a level head. I'll look forward to your note. All right, Donald. Your name is Donald? That's interesting. So how do I justify this? Well, this way. What's the job performance? Okay, let's start here. I did not seek a boss in electing a president. Everybody knows my history. I didn't support the president. Okay, everybody knows that. I'm not going to try to pretend otherwise. Other people did this, right? They're the ones who brought this about. But in seeking a president, I'm not looking for a boss. I'm not looking for a savior. I've got a savior. Thank the Lord. I'm not looking for someone to lead me. I don't need a leader. I know the country needs to have someone leading it, but I'm looking for an employee. I'm looking for an employee who will right-size Washington, D.C. Why? Because my top priority is getting that beast under control. Why do I say beast?
because of a $22 trillion deficit and a $220 trillion in unfunded liabilities that is demonstrably unsustainable. In the year 2023, our interest payments on our debt will outweigh or will be higher than what we spend to defend the United States of America. So you're in Kirkland, you hang out with business people. I don't know you, but I'm assuming you're a business person of some kind. In 2023, our interest payments on the debt will supersede the primary reason governments exist, which is to defend the nation. Right? That's why. So why do I support the president? Because nothing I feared about the president has come true. I support the president because of the regulatory reform. You've heard Mick Mulvaney describe the fact that if you have a chicken lay an egg, that's covered by agriculture. But if you crack that egg and it turns into an omelet, now it's agriculture and the FDA. But if you put cheese in that omelet, now it's agriculture, FDA, EPA, other people get involved, Department of Commerce. It's insanity. So I support that. I support the president because he has destroyed ISIS, whereas Barack Obama chose not to do that. And please don't tell me it wasn't a choice. Barack Obama, while he was president of the United States, decided to allow the Taliban to continue to ship opioids into our country, according to who? According to the Politico. He also allowed Hezbollah, a partnership or wholly owned subsidiary of Iran, to continue to partner with narco terrorists from south of the border to bring heroin into our country. Heroin and cocaine into our country. President Trump's not doing these things. I also support President Trump because he has brought about tax cuts, which is a forcing function of a bloated and perverted Washington, D.C. I support the president because of that. I support the president because he recognizes that a country that is 5% of the world's population, that has taken on 20% of the world's displaced people, cannot continue down that road. That we're the number one giver of aid, both from an official foreign aid perspective and unofficial, that is, folks being philanthropic. He recognizes that. And you have to have an orderly way to come to the country. He recognizes that. And I could continue on and explain this. But let me give you the real reason why. Not the real reason, but let me give you the expressed reason why. Is because every other form of media does nothing but attack this man. It is disproportionate and it is a perversion of the media's job. So there's the answer to your question. Last email from Tina. Dear Mr. Herman, I listen to your program and enjoy it quite a bit. I wonder, have you come around on the president? Yes. I'm never going to be a guy who warms to his personality. Okay. It's just not my style. And that's okay, because as I just said in the last note, I didn't hire someone to go be my personality coach. I hired an employee. So have I come around? Yeah, I've come around on a lot of things. Now, I'm never going to agree with everything. I'm not a tariff guy. Never thought tariffs are a good idea. I think they're a tax. But I've never found the president I agreed with 100%. Not Reagan. Not, of course, not George H.W. Bush. Not George W. Bush. And I never agreed with anything. That never agreed with anything that Barack Obama did. And I made a point to look. I really did. All right, Todd Herman Show will continue on AM 770 KTTH and on the Greater East Side, 94.5 FM. How many were assaulted yesterday at the King County Courthouse in one day? How many folks? Yeah, we'll get to that in the Seattle Spirit segments. Todd Herman Show.